Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The beloved Lutheran theologian and author Mark Allen Powell tells a story about a young man that he met who was very passionate about following Jesus. He was very passionate about following Jesus, but in having a conversation with this young man, he discovered that although he was passionate about following Jesus, he didn't ever actually go to church. He didn't attend worship services. This young man was really, really into Christian music. He really was into his Bible. He read it every day. He loved Jesus and loved to tell other people about Jesus, but he didn't go to worship. And so Mark Allen Powell asked him, he said, "Well, why don't you go to church?" And the young man said, "Well, it's boring." So Mark Allen Powell, he pushed this young man on this a little bit. He said, "Would you be willing to leave your family and go to far-off lands for Jesus?" And the young man said, yeah, I would love to do that. I'd love to be a missionary. I would so do that. And Mark Allen Powell said, "Well, would you be willing to suffer ridicule and even lose friends for Jesus?" He said, "Yeah. In fact, I already have in some ways." And he pushed him a little bit more. He said, "Would you be willing to give your life for Jesus?" The young man thought about it for a little bit, giving that question the weight that it deserved. And he said, "Well, you know, if it ever came to that, I think, yes, I would." So Mark Allen Powell, I think, was working as a youth minister at the time when he was talking with this young man. He said, "Let me get this straight. So you would leave your family and go to far-off places for Jesus, and you would suffer ridicule and lose friends for Jesus, and you would even die for Jesus, but you aren't willing to be bored for Jesus? Not even for an hour or so on a Sunday morning? We all have our deal breakers, don't we? We all have our conditions. We all have our limits when it comes to following Jesus. We all have those moments when we say, 'Yes, I love Jesus, but let's not get crazy about it,' right?" In our gospel reading for this morning, we meet three would-be followers of Jesus, and they all have their excuses. They all have their deal breakers. In the first case, this young man comes up to Jesus and says, "I will follow you wherever you go." Those are big words. That's a pretty bold promise this man is making. Does he really know what he's getting himself into here? Jesus pushes him a little bit. He says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus seems to be challenging this man's self-confidence. "Do you really think you're going to follow me wherever I go? Are you sure about that? I can't offer you a place to lay your head," Jesus is saying. "It won't be easy. There will be sacrifices to be made. You won't always be comfortable or happy. Do you still think you're willing to follow me everywhere I go?" We don't hear a response from this man, and the silence is very telling. In the second case, Jesus initiates a call. He tells someone to follow him. "Follow me," he says, and the man says, "Let me first go and bury my father, then I will follow you." Now, this sounds like a reasonable request. It sounds like a righteous request. Even Jewish people are supposed to care for their elderly and vulnerable parents, as are Christians. It's part of the fourth commandment, right? And we don't know if this man's father was in his elderly years and he wanted to wait until he had passed, or if he had died already and he needed to tend to the funeral details. But either way, this is good reason. It's a fourth commandment reason. It's a holy and righteous reason. And yet, Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." For the third would-be follower, he says, "I will follow you, Jesus, but first let me go say farewell to those at my home." Again, this seems pretty reasonable. The lectionary for today, the first reading, reminds us that there's biblical precedent for this. When Elijah was preparing Elisha to take over for him, Elisha said, "Can I please first go home and kiss those at my home, kiss my mother and my father before I follow you? And then I will follow you." And Elijah says, "Yes, go ahead, you can do that." So is Jesus more demanding than Elijah? Sounds like it. Because Jesus says, no one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. These three would-be followers of Jesus have deal breakers of their own. The first seems unwilling to give up the comforts that he enjoys in life, while the second two seem unwilling to put Jesus above their family obligations. And Jesus told all three of them in no uncertain terms that when it comes to following him, there are to be no deal breakers, no matter how good they sound. They don't get to set the conditions for following Jesus. He sets the conditions. When it comes to following him, Jesus is telling them there's no going back. When the Spanish explorer Cortes finally landed on the east coast of Mexico after traveling hundreds of miles over the ocean, he famously had his men burn their ships right there on the beach. So you've heard that, a little bit of that history. So these men with him had to watch as their only way of going home was up in smoke on the beach. These were not shipbuilders, so their only way home was smoldering on the beach as Cortes had them burn the ships. There was no going back. That's what Jesus is doing here with a bit of verbal fire. If you're going to follow me, burn the ships. If you're going to follow me, there's no going back. And none of them, none of the three, were then willing to follow Jesus. So I need to ask you this morning, what are your deal breakers? We have some of our own, don't we? Some say, I will follow you, Lord, as long as it fits with my schedule. Some say, I will follow you, Lord, as long as I like the music. I will follow you, Lord, as long as we can keep it private, just between you and me. I will follow you, Lord, as long as I don't have to give up anything, as long as it doesn't put a crimp in my lifestyle. I will follow you, Lord, until the word conflicts with my political ideology, at which time I will explain away your word and go with my political ideology. That's meant to be a bipartisan remark, by the way. Some say, I will follow you, Lord, as long as it fits with the cultural trends of the moment. Some say, I will follow you, Lord, as long as I don't have to care about all your friends, especially the poor ones. Some say, I will follow you, Lord, as long as it's not boring. Sometimes we are like those Christians that we hear about in Galatia in the second reading for today, who somehow got the idea that Christian freedom meant doing and thinking whatever the heck you want to do and think. The Christians in Galatia somehow got the idea that Christian freedom meant you could mold and shape Christ's call according to your own thoughts and desires. Not only does Paul teach otherwise, but Jesus does too. Jesus tells those who would follow him that this will involve a radical reordering of your priorities and your values. He says that he will set the terms of following, not us. He says that if we're going to follow him, we need to put him above everything and everyone else, even above those people that we cherish most in our lives. Does that mean that we need to neglect our families in order to follow Jesus? Absolutely not. It means that we serve our families best when we put Christ first. If you've ever taken a trip on an airplane, you've heard the flight attendant giving the safety spiel, how they always say that if the plane loses cabin pressure, the adults should put their masks on themselves first and then help their children, right? This is not a self-centered kind of thing. This is not a follow your bliss at the expense of your children kind of a bit of advice. What this is saying is that you are no help to your children, to your beloved family members, if you're slumped over in your seat for lack of oxygen. You need to get that oxygen on your face first. In the same way, we need to put Christ first. We need to breathe in Christ before we can love and serve others with the strength of Christ. But the truth is The truth is that none of us puts Christ first consistently enough to be worthy of him. The truth is that we all have our deal breakers, we all have our conditions, we all have our limits when it comes to following Jesus. If we had to pass the litmus test that these three would-be followers are having to try to pass, none of us would make the cut. There are just too many things that we're not willing to give up. Thankfully, Jesus did for us what we never seem to do ourselves. Jesus gave up everything. Jesus gave himself up without conditions and without limits. Jesus even gave his life up. He gave his life for us. At the end of the gospel reading for today, I said that this is the gospel of the Lord. And you all said, thanks be to God. Gospel means not just the genre of literature in the Bible, it also means good news. So where's the good news in this reading? Well, we kind of have to dig for it. Luke plants it in that reading. There's a little clue as to where the good news is, and it comes in the way Luke says this. He says, Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. There it is. Two times in three verses, Luke tells us that Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem. Luke wants us to know that Jesus was already headed towards the cross. Although in the end, no one was willing to follow Jesus. In the end, no one was willing to follow Jesus there to Golgotha. Still, that's where Jesus went. He set his face towards Jerusalem. Jesus went to the cross for those three would-be followers. Jesus went to the cross for all his failed followers. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. And in his death and resurrection, Jesus has established a new covenant. He has established a new relationship with us, a relationship that cannot be broken, a relationship where there are no deal breakers, not on his end for sure. Now, because what Jesus has done for us, we belong to him. And because we belong to him, we no longer live in the flesh. Because we belong to him, we are drawn out of our arrogant attitudes and our selfish desires so that we might live by the Spirit. That's what Paul's talking about in our reading from Galatians. Paul writes, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Left to ourselves, left to our flesh, left to our worldly ways of thinking, we would never follow Jesus. There would always be a deal breaker. But when the Spirit goes to work on us, when the Spirit begins to get a hold of us, well then we set aside all of our conditions and joyfully give ourselves over to lives of discipleship. When the Spirit starts to work on us, then there's nothing that we won't endure to follow Jesus. There's no ship we aren't willing to burn in order to follow him into the new life he promises us. When the Spirit gets a hold of us, we find ourselves breathing him in and then pouring ourselves out in loving service to others. The Spirit is at work doing all of this here and now. The Spirit of Christ is at work doing all of this on us here and now as we listen to the Word and as we share in Christ's Supper. How anyone could be bored by that is beyond me. Amen. I invite you to stand now as you're able as we sing our hymn of the day.